wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet. Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I'm in such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do? Bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Welcome on, welcome all. And it is that time for Roundtable Live here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Be rolling on until 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable Live. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
Hello there. Welcome to Planet Collingwood Open Roundtable. My name is Monty Dean. You are on Revolution Radio Studio A. Big thank you to the boys, or gentlemen, or men, or higher beings of entity, or just, you know, a fractals of the prime creator. Big thank you to Why Not and the chaps for the Y-Files for the last 2 hours. If you enjoyed the last 2 hours, please go to freedomslips.com and or revolution.radio and donate what you can to keep the station on air. We got to pay the bills, y'all, and because we are 100% listener supported. So thank you for all your support to continue sharing this information, which is kind of needed as where it's nearly the end of the third week of August, according to the Pope's work schedule. And it's just going to get more insane because we're in the middle of the Democratic National Convention, and we'll get to that. So donate what you can within reason. We can survive, and then pop into the chat room and hang out with awesome people as well. And you can watch the chat, listen to us, and have a ball, which is the way. I'm from broadcasting from Hellbourne in the police state of Victoria, and not much has happened in the last week, but a lot has happened in the last week. So if you want to join myself, if you're on my contacts list, just send me a message and I'll add you to the call. If not, and you're a new listener and want to be a new caller, is Monty_Dean, and I will weave my magic wand, which is a bit sexual, or not. I'm digging a hole already, 3 minutes in. And we'll just have a lovely chat. Now, someone that has popped up, came out of the green room, and he's put down his croissant. And why am I doing French? Anyway, our Central American correspondent, the mighty Bruce McDonald. And I would like to say to you, the Bruce, I watched that Zac Efron episode that you suggested, and you live in a completely different world, don't you?
I do. I don't know many of those commune type people over here, but there's a lot of them, right?
Yeah,
and yeah. Yeah, I bump into them in towns and stuff and have brief chats with them, but I just kind of do my own thing over here, but there's a lot of that. Yeah.
Oh, hey, it's just
thanks
amazing.
For watching.
No, you suggested it, and I think it was the whole premise was, I mean, I'm not a fantastic Zac Efron fan. It's made very well, but just the selection of food that you have, which is indigenous, if that's the right word, to the area, and because of the way it doesn't last that long, so I can't really have half the fruit that grows there because it wouldn't survive transport.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's an in-situ living experience.
Yes, and if you ever get the chance, you don't have to hang out with Bruce. I mean, it's up to him, really, but it looks like a wonderful place to visit because it's close to the equator, it's jungle-esque, and it is just a wonder of the planet Gaia, but it does look like a completely different world compared to, you know, southeastern Australia, which is a completely different world to where Bruce lives. Now, someone who lives in a completely different world is from New York, and that is a completely different world. John Z, are you there, my friend? Well, I can hear something in the background. Well, your microphone may be not working.
It's very professional.
Well, I think he was making something to eat, so he's on the call, but we can't hear him at this point in time. Which is odd, because I was talking to him 15 minutes ago. So what have you done? So yeah, he's figuring it out. So he is here. To start the ball rolling on this latest Planet Collingwood. Oh, he's returned. Let's see if
can
the mic
you hear
works.
Me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so as I was saying, I still think to this date the most interesting person I've met in Costa Rica was with you the first time. That guy that couldn't figure out why he kept getting robbed by all the hookers.
I think
that was an interesting 7 a.m. breakfast conversation.
Yeah. I think the answer is it's not a question, it's a statement, but the answer could be in the statement.
Yeah.
You hang out with hookers and you keep getting robbed. I wonder if there's a connection. Hmm.
Yeah. Not too bright, that fella. Not too bright at all.
Well, life lessons. So I'll start the ball rolling and we can go anywhere, of course. We could talk about crochet or knitting or Alyssa Milano. I don't freaking care.
Oh,
okay. Ooh, yes. Not the lawn game, the stuff with wool. Today, my time, hello from the future, because it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon here, and it's 2 a.m. Station time. But the Prime Minister of Australia, in all his wisdom, has actually said in a press conference that when the vaccine is ready, he will try and make it as mandatory as possible. The only reason that you won't be able to have the vaccine for COVID-19 is because of health issues. And my first instinct was, well, I don't trust the vaccine. It may kill me. Is that health issue enough for you?
Yeah. Well, Australia seems to be the tip of the spear. It's really kind of interesting how they're rolling out their plans in Australia. Usually it's usually Canada or Australia. They try things first.
Yeah, New Zealand. And then if it works there, they sort of do it for Britain. And Britain seems to be the staging area for the United States.
Yeah. That's the way it goes. So, we're in a real pickle here, right? You know, people need to become aware of what's going on very quickly. I think the biggest hurdle is for people coming to an understanding that the powers that govern us are capable of this kind of wickedness. That's the general block, right? Like they'll buy like petty ego issues like greed and errors like Watergate and stuff like that. But, you know, to really convince people that they're governed by like almost like another race of beings that don't regard us as equal to them and we're as disposable as cattle is really what it comes down to. That's the big hurdle for most people is how negative the governance really is, right? Then they say, oh, you're paranoid, you're this, you're that, but it's that negative. It's really that negative.
Oh, right? And you got the media perpetuating it as well, and just the ideologies as well, where, you know, the left used to be peace, love, mung beams, and tolerance.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that for a while. An example is that New Zealand, they have postponed their election for 4 weeks, and the Prime Minister was praised as saint and thinking of the children and moving forward. Trump says the same thing, and we must kill the devil's spawn. The hypocrisy is just off the charts.
They're actually not lying there. Her government really is thinking about children.
That is true, but take that as you will.
Yeah.
Well, actually, yes, they're trying to bring in a law where if anyone in your household is sick, they'll remove your children from you and go to a quarantine. That's the level.
Yeah, nothing bad will come of that.
No, especially they locked down the whole country, which is three islands, because of 4 cases in the North Island. Mm-hmm. Logic.
The big obstacle facing us, as I see it, is unity. That the people mm-hmm. who've become aware in whatever capacity of, you know, what we're up against and the level of negativity and not non-human aspect to these people, they break up into such distinct camps that they can't find any unity. And you see it all through the alternative media. You see it at Rev Radio as well, right? You've got hardcore religious dogmatists. You've got New Age flakes. You've got cosmologists. You've got channelers. And it's really not a group of people that's easy to unite under a common umbrella.
Well, yeah, because right? I come from the comedy camp, and so, you know, half the people giggle and the other half is like, well, will you be serious? I'm like, that's not the point. So, yeah, it's the beauty of Rev Radio, and then it's I'm trying to find it's the lack of unity at the same time, because that was the idea of Nighthawk, where basically everyone or most everyone can actually share their views. And you, it's like a kaleidoscope. We're all part of one, but there's different factions in that way. Usually there isn't much competition between each other, but it's interesting when someone says a statement and then you make a joke and then all of a sudden you're their enemy because you disagree, which that's part of what's happening with civilization, where what's wrong with disagreeing? I'm not, you know, that I don't agree with that, but I'm not going to hunt and kill you. You know, I do understand the idea of free speech. Go ahead, John.
One of the things I've seen, especially being in a lot of, literally dropped in the middle of a lot of cultures, is most people want to live their lives unharassed by anything, period. Mm-hmm. But the funny thing is about the more vocal people, and I guess this would include me and maybe us, I don't know, but I'll just speak for myself here. I find that the more vocal people are, the less accepting they are of opposing viewpoints. And, you know, my personal outlook is I really don't care what you believe as long as you're not trying to come after me or something I care about. We're fine, you know?
Yeah, that do no harm aspect where I'm sure if Bruce and I, as an example, looked at our eating habits and diet, you know, 50% of it could be completely different. But I eat what I eat, and he eats what he eats. I mean, what's the problem here?
Yeah.
That's another thing that's very interesting when you start crossing cultures and getting dropped in the middle of them is the whole aspect of food. It's very interesting, especially over in the Middle East. It's just I really don't know how to describe it to people. It's one thing to describe where I would say Bruce lives, because it is an entirely different world from the world itself. But when you get dropped into somewhere like Afghanistan or Iraq, it's just like, whoa, what is going on here? And it takes you a long time to actually figure out how things work.
Yeah. I would add to that as well is if you go out to dinner with a vegan when you're allowed to, don't order the meat lover's pizza. You know, be respectful of the try the vegan stuff, and you go, it needs more meat. Then yeah, but it's only once. And then I that came to mind because, like, if you're dropped in Afghanistan, are there many vegans in the desert? Because
I don't think so.
now where Bruce lives, I could see vegans going through the roof because it's just the plant life and the fruit and, like, weird ass fruit, where apparently some of it looks like, it looked like meat, and there was an element, you know, it's just weird sort of, you know. I brought up with the British, like, meat and three veg, and we have a carrot and potato and pumpkin. What about horseradish? Oh, don't be silly. You know what I mean? It's very regimented in that way. But the amount of fruit that actually Bruce can get, like, what was that thing? Because obviously you saw the episode, Bruce, but there was something that was like 4 pounds. It was the size of a baby. That was a fruit. Unfortunately, yeah. You can't walk 50 meters from the tree before it dies, but it looks huge.
Yeah, I forget the name of that, but there's so much fruit here. It isn't funny. Like, I hardly go a day without eating fruit, and it's usually picked on the mountain here. You want to hear something? So when I bought the seed packs from Hawk in 2018, there was papaya in it, but all of the seeds were male, and the male doesn't really bear fruit. So I got all these papaya plants I got to cut down now. So, and they take like a year and a half to mature too. Like they're like little. Yeah. So it's kind of a pain.
Don't you have
like
17 tons of bananas or beetroot or something like that? They went, like, I'll just plant.
Yeah, I got all the bananas I could ever eat. Yeah. Like, I got all the limes, all the oranges, all the avocados, mango too. When it's in, right? When the trees are fruiting. So, yeah, I don't like to rub this in people's face, right? Talking about my delicious fresh fruit diet and my fresh chicken and all of these sorts of things, as people are looking at, like, you know, hamburger that's like $8 to $10 a pound in the U.S. It's a little bit insensitive, maybe, but it is what it is.
Do you have delicious melons?
Yeah, man, I eat a lot of papaya here. They do anything dairy, they do well here. So there's really good yogurt here. So one of my favorite things is like papaya and pineapple with yogurt. And then, like, we just cleaned my land, as I said, in the morning on my show, but, it's about 2 acres. It's on the side of the hill there, John. So we cleaned it all up with a machete, and then you burn it, right? And now we're turning the earth. I want to do a big, potato crop. But while we were cleaning the land, I found this yucca, and it took like two of us to pull up, right? It's like, the yucca is like 3 feet long. It's like a 2 week supply of yucca for a family from one plant. Yucca is like a tuber. It's a root vegetable. The actual edible part is the root of the plant. And it's like a super potato. It's like kind of like a potato. Cassavas is what it's sometimes called in North America and maybe Australia. So, I mean, I eat a lot of that too, and that's really good for you.
It is 10 times more delicious than a fried potato. That's all I know.
Yeah. You know what? You know, I have a deep fryer up here now, John. Like, not, not an, not an electric one. You put it on the propane burner, but it's a deep fryer. So I do yuca fries all the time now with a little bit of mayonnaise. And wow. Yeah. This is quite a round table talking about Bruce's diet. Did I ever tell you about the eggs? I mean, the yolks are tangerine orange, not yellow, like you get in first world grocery stores. They're like tangerine orange. It's like twice the nutrition, three times the nutrition of a normal one.
Just super orange, you mean?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, egg yolk. And then I got chicken.
That's core tech, ladies and gentlemen. I'm trying to produce and host at the same time. And, it's fun. No, it's not. we do have a new caller, and so I'm hoping I get the right name because Skype sucks. New caller, Gerald. Is that what you'd like to be called, or Supreme Overlord of all space and time? Choices. How are you, sir?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I like to be called Trucker Gerald. That's fine, but Gerald will be fine.
This comes up on a YouTube channel, so I've got to get the guests right. So Trucker Gerald, good. We've also been joined by Hijacker as well. Hijacker, how are you, sir?
Well, pretty good, Deacon. Monty, how am I coming in?
Quite good.
Okay.
Hijacker.
Okay. Hey, gang.
So, yes, Cortec, anything to add? Because you saw our Prime Minister in stupidity. We mandate the vaccine. It's like, it's only been 5 months. Even pro-vaxxers are going, I don't trust this.
He's been very quick to jump, you know, in the very, very, very beginning of March. He was, you know, the first one to really come out and say, this is going to be 6 months, you know. So he's not afraid to kind of just... I mean, and not in a good way, and he's just total US puppet, but he's not afraid to put it out there. The comments are the funniest bits.
Ah, yes, over. Yes. we had Trucker Gerald. So what brings you to Planet Collingwood?
I love the roundtable. Just thought I'd join you guys.
Thanks, man.
It's good. Yeah, because all these other guys are boring talking about the same thing. We ended up talking about fruit. I kid. Fruit's nice if I can remember to eat it.
Good to hear from someone new.
Yeah, it spices it up. So thank you. And Hijacker, anything to report or just want to step into the fray and have a chat?
You did mention something. So did you all hear about the latest crop circle in Westshire, England? Last 24 hours?
No, not in the last 24 hours, no.
No, it wasn't the last 24 hours. It was it was actually on May 20. No, this was the latest one. So anyways, the crop circles was a picture of a compound or like the coronavirus. If you had a picture of it, you got the circle with all the little points coming out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
This particular molecule, let me put it that way. That's what the crop circle was a picture of, and so nobody could figure it out until it went to like an organic chemist, and he saw it and he goes, you know, I remember that molecule from school. And he looked up in his book and he found what it was. You can find this story over the first hour of Jeff Rentz. So the guy that sent it to him, you know, asked the organic chemist, well, what does it do? I mean, he goes, well, it's very exotic. Very few people would know what this is. And then they started looking it up and they realized that this molecule, whatever you want to call it, is actually used to help people with like epilepsy. And they started to go down the list. And then all of a sudden they're realizing, wait a minute. So did somebody just give us the molecule, the compound or whatever this, you know, weird picture crop circle was, that has to do with the COVID-19. And so now people are starting to think in a crop circle, somebody gave us a very rare but plentiful compound or molecule that can cure the COVID-19. Very strange story. So on Rents tonight, the first hour.
If I use the term white hats, it's a cheeky way of getting around with that, you know, non-interference type thing. I'm just going to do some art in a field, and it just happens to be the key to stopping COVID or something. So it wouldn't surprise
me. This was like 400. This was a big one, 400 feet, and the name of the molecule, it's got like 3-4. And then it goes into, like a long chemistry Latin name. And then there's another digit. And then it goes into another name, which I can't even pronounce. Long letters. But, so that's what it is. A rare compound that nobody would know about except organic chemist or somebody that actually builds, you know, viruses, so to speak, or antiviruses.
Hey, hijacker.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, hijacker, I got a question for you. Serious question. Who do you think makes these things? The crop circles?
All right.
Yep.
The crop circles. Well, I mean, you know what I think.
No, I don't. That's why I'm asking you.
Right. Well, I come from a biblical stance. So what I really think that the fallen ones had come down, mated with women, manipulated all kinds of genetics. I think they mated with the great ape and they made the Bigfoot. I think they spliced in some of their DNA into ant and like they made the ant people. But no. Who made the crop circles? Probably Tartarians, Nephilim, who are at the center of the Earth in the North Pole. The tall ones, you know, the 12.
Nephilim, you're talking giants here?
Yeah, giants, like what Admiral Byrd ran into.
Yeah, the mainstream version of it is that it's a guy with a plank and some rope, and they just do it. It's like, well, no, because how did they bend all the stalks at a 90-degree angle without breaking them?
No,
remove all the water and everything else. Like it's one of those. It's one of those. This is what really happens, and it's like no, because this is
high technology.
Yeah, these exactly.
People they got IQs of 2,000. These are like gods among men. And they've left their buildings all over the place. We can't even duplicate. They're everywhere. If you just take a look at, you know, some of these old buildings, they're sort of Greco-Roman type. They're all over the earth. They're everywhere.
Graham Hancock, his latest book, which came out a couple of years ago, The Lost Civilization, there's too much evidence of like, well, hang on, this doesn't fit into history. And they find buildings that are 11,000 years old through carbon dating and everything else like that.
My only problem with the giant theory of the crop circles, and here's the thing. So I know they exist for a fact. We ran into them in Afghanistan. But my only problem with that theory is that you would definitely see these footprints of them coming into the field. There would be no way to hide that.
Oh, no, this is technology. These Nephilim, these are Tartarians. They build incredible craft.
So, you're saying this was done by my machinery and tech?
Yeah, no. This is done something they know a lot. They know a lot. Of course, if they descended from heaven, then they're going to know all kinds of frequencies and everything. But there's actually footage. Have you seen, John Z, the footage of a crop circle actually being made?
No.
Is it when you see those orbs kind of? Is it orbs? Yeah, I've seen that.
They come right down, and you actually see in real time this person goes back to this castle over and over, and he sets up a camera and he films it, and then finally he caught it. One of these two.
Well, here's an interesting thing. You mentioned orbs, and now, at least in my experience, an orb can be anything. And it can be misidentified as anything also. So there's kind of a problem in that by itself. I'm not trying to knock you, man. I'm just you know, like saying, well, you see an orb in the air, like you don't know what it is.
Right, well, no, or whether
the video had been doctored at all, but you know, I mean, that's
right. Well, no, they're balls of light. They come down and they go over this area, and it's just right above it. And whether they're using some kind of frequency or they got resonancy with the Earth, toroidal field, something, we don't know. We're just not that smart. And these balls go around, and you see it construct within like. It only takes a couple of minutes, and they build a whole crop circle, and then boom, they take off. So
yeah, it's like yeah. Did they touch the ground? Like you, if you saw giants, they may be oscillating on a different frequency, so they don't affect the 3D strata or something like that. But most, like, is it Alfred C. Clarke? My mind's saying that this so high technology it looks like magic to certain people. Say the telescope, if you ended up and you show the Mayans, probably not the best people. You bring in technology that's so advanced, people just think it's, you know, white man's magic. It's like this is a cell
cargo
phone.
Cargo cults in Papua New Guinea and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. During World War II, where they keep seeing the planes fly over and they replicated them out of bamboo. And they were part of the gods, and it's not intelligent people. It's just they didn't have the knowledge of, well, no, this is just a Spitfire or a P-51 or whatever it is.
Yeah,
right. Because we got the UFOs. We know there's anti-grav. So we know. Go ahead.
That's part of the problem right there, right? You know, just like you said, people carving bamboo or, you know, structures of stuff they don't understand. We're essentially doing the same thing down here, and it's actually quite amazing how history repeats itself.
Yeah, well, it's not really a repeat; it rhymes. There seems to be loops, and so it's because, like, you can make the correlation of the Roman Empire and the United States, where certain things seem to be happening. It's not exactly the same, so it's more of a rhyme in poetry type thing, sort of like how they made the Star Wars films before Disney bought it. Just a quick jab in there. I have to let it go. And Doctor Who. There, right. Let's move on. But there, in fact, like, if that Cortex shared in the call chat, where it just looks like a slime sploosh, but it's molecule, lobby. Obviously. Yeah. but that's it is fascinating, and the farmers must love that as well. It's like, oh, someone's just been in my yard again. However. When they're flattened, I don't think they're killed. They're bent, and humans can't do that.
They're not snapped at all. Anywho,
and that's how you can find out if it's a fake one. And even if you a man has made it with a plank of wood, and if they get the design right, that is impressive because it's, you know, 400 feet wide, and it's a shape and everything else like that. But, of course, that won't hit the mainstream media because that will make people think. Like, you know, having a conversation like this, and it's like, oh, no, we can't. You know, the CIA has announced three times in the last decade that, yes, there are UFOs, but the mainstream media ignore it. And so when you meet someone and talk, are there aliens? I instantly think, wow, you're back there. Because we're talking about, well, which aliens, what agenda, and what but unless, like, example I give is if the sky is full of anti-grav ships, people won't believe it till they see it on TV. Even though they're looking at the ships in the sky, they won't believe it till the TV says, no, it's real. Oh, okay, click.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen them. I've seen just from up on my mountain, I could look out, and there's this sort of little mid-sized city. I've seen as many as seven, and they grow dim in light, and then sometimes they grow, and it's like almost like a mini little sunburst. That happens, and then they completely disappear. And I've seen seven of them just moving around over top of this town not too far from me. And I've often thought, what the hell is really going on here? Is they like abducting? Are they like jabbing reptilian blood in them? I mean, where do these probes. People come from? Where's all this shape-shifting coming from? What is that? You know,
I mean, the alternative world, it's not our aliens exist. It's really now, is that one of ours? It's just like, that's how forward, like, well, is that one of ours? Did they capture one? And if you read the Sands of Time, Sand of Time book by Sean David Morton, who he's in an interesting position. So if Sean, I don't know if you'll be listening, but we're still with you, sir. But he seems to be taking a major beating where he's got cancer in the neck and he's losing eyesight and hearing. And
really, he does have cancer in the neck, the throat?
Yes. Yep. The latest communication from him was the 6th of August. And his appeal, because apparently he's in the right age group where Trump had the let the elderly out. Because he's in the right age group. Not saying he's elderly, but yeah. But he seems to be kept in the system. And I think it's because of who he is type deal.
Right, right. So does he have cancer in the throat or the neck?
I can't remember off the top of my head. But I think he said, I think he may have said throat. But the doctor who apparently was caught for malpractice twice is now, because he's in Texas now, I believe. And Project Camelot, Kerry Cassidy's been sharing the emails that she gets from Sean. He's down to getting onto a computer once a week, and the whole COVID thing's just thrown everything into disarray. So he's still struggling on.
Yeah, so if you're talking cancer of the throat, I don't think he smoked.
It could be beaten. Anyway, we wish him the best, and he gets out soon.
Yes, so I think his wife is out, and she's rebuilding her life, and I think she's got work. Well, she did have work before lockdown, and it's
got to be easier for her to help from outside, I guess.
Well,
I knew they were going to put it to him because he often talked about that he was part of that Illuminati group, Knights of John, I think it was. Somebody who knows what I'm saying, help me out here. But he talked about he was inducted into like little secret society, Illuminati society, and he went along with it. You know, you get a sword and a cape or something. I think it was Knights of John or Columbus Knights or I forgot.
That's interesting all by itself, but I will share a story that I have talked with Sean on air before. Whoever that is, can you mute your mic, please?
I'm going to say Trucker Gerald because it sounds like he's in the truck.
Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. Yeah, it's like your window's open and I can hear a car. So I'm taking a stab in the dark. It could be the trucker. Just putting it out there.
Yeah, that was a trucker.
Yeah, fair enough, sir. Thank you. Go ahead.
So I had shared this with Sean on air, and I've talked to on air about it with him a couple times. So I see no reason not to share this. So this was sometime in the 2000s. You'll have to forgive me. My memory is absolutely crap. By the way, TBI has no effect in the future, just so we're clear. So I met Sean, like I said, sometime in the 2000s, and we were in Amsterdam. I got off the plane. I was still working with the military. And long story short, my handler brought me to an airplane hangar, and it was a very unusual hangar for a number of reasons, not to mention the guards and the vault safe and the plexiglass in it. But what was odd is when I first arrived that there was a person talking with someone in a very, we'll call it, high fashion limo. And I didn't really get a good look at the guy, but they finished what they were doing, and we approached, and the guard was, for lack of a better word, starstruck. And he says, "Do you know who that was?" "No." "Who was that?" He's like, "Oh, that was Sean David Morton." I was like, "Okay, I don't know who that is." And so we proceed to go in through this very literal bank vault door into this hangar. And through this was a maze of plexiglass and series of guards and gates. And at the very end of this magical maze was a reserve currency called redbacks at the time. That was a reserve currency for the U.S. in case anything fell through. And I didn't really know what to think of it at the time, other than it was just a contingency, you know, a backup plan, if you will. And fast forward to around 2014, when I came to Rev Radio, I actually called into Sean's show and I asked him about it. And he says, yeah, I absolutely remember that. And he described the same thing I did. He described talking with the person in the limo and leaving and what he saw. And so I really don't have like a big picture idea of what this actually was other than just a reserve currency. But I know there's definitely a lot more to unpack there. Over.
Yeah, I think it's right. Change of economic, and so they've got a backup system to step in if the petrodollar collapsed. I'm guessing.
Right. They always got backup. You're right, Monty. It's just in fact they got redundant backups. But I did hear that story too. My point was Sean, and the reason why I think he's having such a how would you say it in Australia, a tough go. What's the vernacular? Yeah.
Interesting time.
Okay.
He's being made an example of, it sounds like.
So my theory is the reason why he is having such a rough time and they treated him more harshly than I think child molesters don't even serve as much time as he got. But I think because he was actually in the club, he did have connections. He was this disciple of John or Knights of John, and he had some knowledge. He knew how the law worked, and he was fairly close on the inside. And when they started to see him flip and help the little people figure out how to do these different financial games and using language and bonds, I think, okay, alrighty, you turn. So it's like the Freemasons. You come out from them and you start to expose them. They're going to come after you. And I think that's what happened to Sean. There you go. It's my theory.
Yeah, it could be also linked to what the information he released in Sands of Time, which is from the journals of an insider from the shadow government. And it was written in a fiction.
Not that equation. Is it that equation? I've only read the first one.
Yeah. Well, is it? The first book he released, which I got, it's got the equation on the cover. Yeah, the cover is like, well, yeah, I went to a friend like, oh, what's this? I may look at it. I'm like, oh, come on. But then he actually split that because it was a long book. He split that into volume one and two. So if you got the earlier one, that's together. So then part three came out, which is 2008 and the Isomer Protocol. And it's even if it's completely fake and not true, it's still a cracking story, and it's fascinating. So
the first one was a good roller coaster ride. I haven't done that Protocols one.
Yeah, it's good. I think it's still maybe up for sale. It's expensive if you go on eBay. So
yeah, well, I fall more in line with Sean's theory. Like, you know, when do they really take action against you? You know, you can write books and say you're an insider and, you know, things like Sands of Time. But even Sean admitted, you know, when did they finally come for Jesus? When he went into that temple, he started messing with their money.
Yep.
And that's what Sean was doing. He was messing with the IRS. He was messing with their money. And they go, okay, now we're going to come after you.
Yeah, as Sean would say, if you mess with the dough, you got to go.
Yeah.
And that's very true. So it'd be fascinating to see if he gets out. We're all hoping for that, obviously. And he'll definitely come back to Revolution Radio because he's family. So it's, yeah, the communication's being leaked out slowly from him, but we're still here and everything else like that. Still support the young chap. Okay.
May I be so bold, Monty? Because we haven't heard from our new caller at all.
If John Z would like to interview the trucker.
is there anything on your mind there that, you know, you want to talk about? Anything, really? Am I talking to open air here?
He's muted at the moment.
Has anyone seen the zombie pigs they brought back to life? Oxford University or something.
Actually, I got that from Jonathan Pye, where it's like he was going, "Why would you do this?" It's like this is just getting peak 2020, where 32 pigs came back to life, and I put a GIF of what's his name? Ryan Reynolds as what's his name? Where he's but why? Like that's the first question. Is like why are you reanimating the dead?
Has there been a zombie movie with pigs in it yet?
I'm sure, but no.
There was that classic New Zealand one with sheep. That's kind of close. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, but that was Peter Jackson just with a sense of comedy. So
I prefer Shaun of the Dead personally, but that's my particular flavor.
Yeah, classic.
Some people would like to say that people wearing masks are the form of zombies at the moment. So just putting that in there.
They're the new normals, aren't they?
Who knows? Everything. But yeah, wait 12 hours and everything changes. Speaking of waiting 12 hours and changes, I've been trying to watch the Democratic National Convention, and the yesterday was so boring, and today, I described it to Andrew Bartz's. It's a reality. They're trying to create a reality that doesn't exist, because it's all that, you know, Orange Man bad, you know, evil, and everything else like that. And you had Michelle Obama doing her long speech, and you know, the same level. It's the same level of people saying that 8 years of Obama and no scandals, and everyone's like, well, apart from these 12, it's just ridiculous. I missed. Apparently, AOC endorsed Bernie Sanders. Oops. the response from Bill Clinton's speech, I have no idea what he said. He attacked the president, where the Oval Office is supposed to be a command center, not a storm center or some horse hockey, but everyone's gone, aren't you a pedophile? That's the response.
how is he still alive? I thought Hillary just like sucked all the life out of him. What the hell is he doing?
He could have had AIDS, who knows, but you know, how many clones did they buy? Did they buy in bulk?
Ones down at the bottom of the box get a bit greasy, that it works so well.
Yeah, the one at the bottom got squashed from all the others on top. Yeah, go ahead, Isaac.
Yeah, well, in the last 48 hours, this big story is hitting the, that's hit the media. And it has to do with young blood and Thiel, I think his name. He's a billionaire. And he actually gets direct blood transfusion from teenagers. In particular, this one 15, 16-year-old kid who's, the parents have given permission. And the kid gets paid a massive amount of money. But there's actually corporations out there now in which you can go and request young blood, and they'll give you a match and everything else. So could it be that Bill Clinton, they have found an elixir to sort of give you extended lifetime?
I would say that's probably an alternative to adrenochrome because of the crackdown in COVID and
sex trafficking or human trafficking in general.
Yeah, that makes sense. Especially where, like, I sort of think on a different level of, like, you know, lockdown, everything else like that. And I'm thinking, I'm so glad I stopped addictive drugs before this happened, because everyone, half the people on illegal drugs would be going through cold turkey right now. Especially if you're in Melbourne, where you can only travel 5 kilometres and your deal is 7.
Pictures I've been seeing, like, I mean, I've seen it all across the world. I don't know. Weird stages, weird bit like that, when no one's on the streets, you think, oh, you know, amazing time to take photos, but then it's just such a miserable memory, you know?
Yeah, and also they've announced they're going to start, I think in Victoria at least, they're going to start setting up drones to capture people without masks on while they're outside. And we've gone from that, well, for me anyway, I've gone from that depressive mode just to select, gone from tragedy straight into comedy of like, we really need a 1984 checklist. And it's like, oh, we're at drones now, tick. Mandatory vaccinations. Oh, that's getting closer. It's like the script that we've been talking about for over a decade to 2 decades. It's unfolding in front of our thing. Now, the thing is, like, I'm from the point of view of, like, this is all bad stuff happening. However, we're humans. We can adapt and we'll win. Like, I've heard someone actually say, and I'll repeat it. I'm a repeater, everybody. Clip that. If the New World Order actually is implemented across the board, across the entire planet, it would dissolve in 8 months. Because name one thing that the government can do right, because they always mess it up.
Hold on. Let me have a think about that. No, it's all the time I need.
Taxes? Yeah. Taxes. Well, yeah, but still, they get that wrong. It's like, oh, yeah, sorry. But, yeah, they implement it, and then you can get around. There's loopholes and everything else like that. Now, a good example is, have you ever tried to go into the DMV and try and just get a license? It's like, it should take 2 to 3 minutes, but you're in there for 45 minutes and, like, sucking the soul out of you.
The RTA in New South Wales, I don't know what they've done, but it's an absolute pleasure to go in there now. I know, seems retarded, seems alien, seems like I'm completely flat out lying.
Not in 2020.
It's crazy.
It's 2020. I can't think of a better expenditure of manpower and time than to just look at drone footage and see who doesn't have a mask. I mean, it makes sense at this point, right?
Cushy work if you can get it.
Well, yeah, because of drone strikes, a couple of drone operators, I think that's the term you use, which is basically a heavily armored video game, a couple of them have got purple hearts. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but purple hearts are medals if you survive, but it's awarded. It's awarded if you get wounded, and you have an act of bravery and you get wounded, correct?
Yeah, that's called an enemy marksman's badge.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. What, spending all that time watching MASH, I learned these things. Purple heart, all right. And the thing is that, a couple of I cut my finger while droning somebody. And like, oh, purple heart. And my grandfather had his legs blown off, and he gets a purple. Come on, hypocrisy.
They don't get a purple heart if their drone gets shot down, do they? That doesn't count, really, does it?
This who knows? Lost a rotor and a battery. Oh no.
Yeah. Well, speaking of drones,
humanity.
Yeah, drones are actually being teared down. The mighty eagle of the United States—they're taking out drones. They land on it and they rip the fans off it, so it falls to they're getting attacked. It's like, I like this bird.
I saw that as well.
Yeah. And I've also seen comparisons of the bald eagle and the wedge tail eagle here in Australia, and it's 3 times as large.
The bald eagle is?
No, the wedge tail eagle here in Australia is 3 times as large, yeah.
I still remember the first drone that was shot down when they first came out in Texas, and some yahoo with a shotgun took it out from the air.
Yeah. Skeet shooting with prizes.
Yep.
And it's interesting. In the United States, it's a what's the higher felony or what's the there's two isn't there's felony. Yeah, felony's the higher one if you damage or attack a bald eagle. Here in Australia, we have the emu and the kangaroo. We eat them. They're our national symbol. They're on our coat of arms. And, yeah, we eat them. Yeah.
Have you actually ever had kangaroo? Like, I'm actually kind of curious how that is.
I haven't, but I'm told it's very tough. And because of... Because the white man came in and stole everything, the Aboriginal
were you waving your index finger just then?
No. I'm just apparently appropriating a small culture. There isn't the traditional Aboriginal First Nations that keep their numbers down because they would eat them and use them and everything else like that. And because we eat all cow and chicken and everything, there actually has to be kangaroo culls because there's too many pest. Of them and they're affecting. Yeah. Yeah, they turn into a 6-foot pest.
The tail's good though, isn't it? The tail's. I thought the tail. There's something I remember about the tail being a special own bit. Maybe it keeps for longer, or it has its own packaging, so you can take it over the next week if you're traveling from place to place or something like that.
That would make sense because it's just all pure muscle. Because it's as the kangaroo, it helps it stabilize and pick up speed. Like these things can. Like a friend of mine who's a cyclist and he's doing 70K and he's had a couple of roos bounding along next to him going, hey, how you going?
Do the Superman and jump in front of him across the road.
Yeah, no, like they're bounding along with him. He's like, hey, this is fun. He's like sweating and panting and he's trying to go really fast and the kangaroo's like, hey, cool, and then peels off to the left but increases. the speed, yeah. I mentioned before on Planet Collingwood, the boxing kangaroo, that's all made up. They don't box. They've got very small hands. They'll rip the crap out of you with their legs and feet.
Yeah, stand on your tail and rip your guts out with their toenails.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see kangaroos fight each other because it's all slappy till the feet kick in.
I love that video of that Australian dude. It's some like he looked out the back and a kangaroo had his, I don't know how this seemed possible because of the little arms, but he had this dog. He had his dog kind of pinned down or had him in a headlock or something like that.
Yeah, and remember where you are. Remember where you are because we're at the break. So it's not me being rude. I'm just pointing out because
he comes out the back door and just kind of shells him up and just right hands this kangaroo.
Oh yeah, well, yeah, he sucks. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. This is Planet Colin. We'll be back right after these messages.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
Show them what we got here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh,
Give me dead!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution, Revolution. Radio!
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
And welcome back to Planet Collingwood, freedomslips.com, Revolution Radio. My name is Monty Dean. It's an open roundtable. If you enjoyed the last hour, please go to said website, freedomslips.com and or revolution.radio, and donate what you can so we can continue having Revolution Radio up on the internet. And we're 100% listener supported and 100% volunteer as well. So go team. To steal from Nicole Arbour. Once you're at the website, pop into the chat room and hang out with like-minded people. Omega Legolas. Yes, he's now actually in Lord of the Rings. Omega Legolas. I just call him OL. Anyway, he's there, so he's been helping out. I believe he's from the ACT, so he's halfway between me and Cortec. Just on a map, that's all. At the moment, I've been joined by Cortec, Trucker Gerald, who should really try and chime in, apart from saying hello. Hijacker, and I believe John Z will be popping back soon. Cortec, do you want to finish your story? Because the break interrupted it, where basically you're saying that a young man, obviously out of his mind, decided to punch some fauna.
Sorry about that. I didn't know we were so close to break. No, it's a video. I chucked it in. I chucked the link in. He's just kind of checking out the property, and he's got a couple of dogs out, a couple of blue heelers out. Blue heelers have these kind of a brace around them, you could just pick the dog up and put it on the back of Ute, I guess. But the view starts, and he's kind of running towards this kangaroo, and yeah, the kangaroo is down, and he's got this dog in like a headlock. Which is kind of weird because they've got such little arms, and lets the dog go, kind of jumps up they're both the guy and this kangaroo are just kind of facing off each other, and you see the kangaroo, you know, put its weight back on its tail, getting ready to do the two paw kind of swipe down, and he kind of jumps back a bit, and they settle, and the guy just has a chance to do kind of a right hook across him. And gets the kangaroo on the nose. And, you know, there's all these stories about, you know, animal cruelty and all this kind of stuff. But he was saving his dog. Fair enough. I would have done it as well. Mm. It's just such a classic.
It's very Australian.
Sport. It's just beautiful.
I'll just punch him. Yeah. And it was just one punch. It's like, yeah, Dave, calm the frack down.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I'll pull my head in. We could be good mates now. We've had a little
fight. I'll pull my head in. I was a bit off there, but thanks for that. Yeah. It is fun.
Your dog's your dog, I guess, out there.
Yeah, I like the idea of like this dog needs a handle.
There you go. You got three or four of them, I guess, to make it easy.
If you want to see how awesome a blue heeler dog is, there's a movie called Red Dog, and it's just gorgeous.
Love it. Beautiful. I had not seen much. That's my first little bit of seeing parts of the, you know, interior of Australia and all that kind of stuff from that movie. There's a lot of it, and it's worked around mines and stuff like that, but it's super beautiful, and it changes so much. I can't believe I haven't really done much of NT or any of that amazing, amazing landscapes.
Yeah, because 80% of it wants to kill you. It's mostly desert and everything else like that. So that's a fun part of when we win and the planet is saved, I'm going for a world tour because there's so much I want to see.
You haven't done like across to Perth or anything like that?
I've flown. That was boring. went over with Qantas, like, oh, these are nice chairs. I can watch stuff. And then flew back by, wasn't Virgin, but was something like that. And it's like, this is a bus with wings. And of course, yeah, because they're going in the headwind, it took longer. And I'm like, oh. So,
a lot of time, doesn't it?
And there's only, what, 2 to 3 hours time difference between Melbourne and Perth. And somehow I got jet lag. I had no idea. I just zonked. It was there for my my brother's wedding. And I'm like, ugh. So I look like Bill Clinton. You know, it's not right.
Where was it in Perth? I haven't been to – I've been, like, up to Launceston and down to the forest kind of walk. But
Yes. I'm going to – oh, hang on. Yeah, cool. There we go. I'm going to play ignorance. Like, yeah, there are suburbs there, yes.
It's weird, though. When I went there, it was like adolescent Sydney or something like that. Like, it was really nice. It wasn't exploited. It felt still kind of raw and lovely still.
Yeah, I've been just – oh, hello. I've been to Sydney. And, I don't know which city designer did the roads, but he was clearly on acid.
Let me go this way.
Yeah, it was like, let's put a building here and then go this way. Like, we missed a turnoff and it took 20 minutes to get round to the same turnoff. Sydney, for those who are unaware, was the first European settlement or English British settlement, and it just grew naturally, and it's around Port Jackson, which is Sydney Harbour, and so there wasn't any sort of planning. Adelaide is completely planned and it's like a small European city. Melbourne is half planned,
same with Canberra was done by Lloyd Wright or whatever. It's all circles and shit.
Well, Canberra was created because Melbourne and Sydney were arguing, and so that's how we got Canberra. And this is why I stop the rivalry between Melbourne and Sydney. It's like, yeah, just calm down. There were two different cities. There's reasons for it. If you want to live in one, live it. This is how we got Canberra, people.
If you want to argue, go to Canberra.
Exactly. The coldest place on earth. We have been joined by the Viking. Viking, are you there, sir?
I am, guys.
Good.
So I'm sitting between three wildfires. We're back in wildfire season here in Northern California, and we got three of them.
Oh,
that's raging out of control as always.
That's better than on four vehicles.
Are you on a blackout, Viking?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
And we just had some really interesting weather. We had 2 days of lightning storms. We don't get lightning here. You know, in California, it rains from October till about maybe April, May, and then we get completely dry. You know, that's what we call it, the golden rolling hills of California, because it's all the grass dries out. That's why it's so bad. And we had 24 hours of lightning storms. You know, we never get lightning storms. I mean, like every 10 years, you know. So some really kind of crazy stuff happening here.
Yeah, weather's all over the shop, all over the place. We had crazy floods down south 2 weeks ago. I'd never seen it before before that in my entire life. So,
we actually had winter turn up to Melbourne. Someone that will eventually turn up to Melbourne because I'll invite him and we're out of lockdown. We've also been joined by our Canadian West Coast correspondent, SJ. How are you, my friend?
Well, good evening, gentlemen. Weather's been exceptionally nice this summer in British Columbia. Over.
SJ!
I've got a quick question for Viking. Are the fires in new areas? It's not obviously in the same burnt out area from before.
No, they're all new. You got one in Napa County and a couple up here in northern Sonoma County. Again, it's dry as hell. And they're just, it's just really, it's just strange because, you know, We get fires now every year. You know, that didn't used to happen, and they're just brand, you know, Austin Creek is like completely a desolate redwood chaparral type environments. The other one, Casadero, which is not too far away from Austin Creek, is up in flames, and it's just it's all new. This is kind of like we're getting more towards the coast now, you know.
Okay, that could lead to what's happening with the planet, where the energy's changing and the magnetic field and all that type of stuff, because there are reports where there's interesting lightning strikes. Was it the Taj Mahal or one of the pyramids in Mexico? They actually filmed a tornado right at the front of it, and it was just this a very weak one, but the dust went up all. So the weather seems to be changing with the change as well. So you're going with the electric universe. It is kind of fascinating to see. So from a conspiracy point of view, these could be just natural fires. Still not good, but it's if there's increased lightning, it's the right season for it.
Everything would be very dry, wouldn't it?
Yeah, extremely dry. So a lot is happening here. I don't know if you guys talked about it, but Barr is going to put Brandon on the hot seat on Friday. I'm looking forward to that.
No, I only mentioned the convention, which is boring as crap, and you know how I love my crap, where they're just putting forward their fake reality, and I tried to watch the second time, and I got them when they're giving their votes to everybody. But it has been suggested I don't have to watch it, just watch the highlights, and I don't think it'd be interesting to see the numbers of, because I watch the C-SPAN YouTube, and they only get about less than 6,000, but MSN is getting 150,000. But still, like with all the numbers of it being shown live, I think they're low numbers compared to the population. Be interesting to see the Republican convention, how many people get that, because you see a Trump rally and it's tens of thousands of people. Then you have a Biden rally and it's 20. Seems to be repeating again, like the 2016 election.
Well, plus with all the false stats, you know, they still have Biden ahead by 1 point now, you know, and it really is pathetic. You know, it's like I couldn't even. I mean, I tried to get through a couple of those canned soup interviews, and it's pathetic because they couldn't speak about their accolades. They couldn't speak about how great the party is. They couldn't speak about what they've done. It's that orange man bat. I mean, every single time, every single one. And it's like on every single issue that he has literally changed the nation in a momentum, unlike any other president. They're basically finding a way to shackle him and create this, as I said, this dystopia around his legacy.
Yeah, I will be watching Thursday's broadcast, whatever you want to call it, just to see how Biden is during his acceptance speech. Because
just to see the utter train wreck.
Yeah, because...
acceptance of what?
Well, he's accepted the nomination today because he was up against Bernie Sanders, who pulled out, and the votes, because the Democratic Party voted, like, well, we'll give the nomination to that guy. And then he was only on for about 30 seconds, so he could be coherent, and said, thank you, I'll see you on Thursday night. And that's when, because they have the acceptance speech for the nomination at the end of the convention. So I don't know what tomorrow's all about.
Why didn't Bernie get up in all this? I thought he had a fair bit of momentum last time.
He was probably told by the higher-ups to pull out again. And that's upset a lot of Bernie bros, as they're called, because he did the same thing last election, where Hillary really wanted it, and so he's like, oh, okay, and pull back. He was getting more numbers, he was more popular. It should have been Bernie Sanders and Trump. That would have been a fascinating campaign and run. However, he just pulled out again the same time, same thing this time, where it's like, yeah, thank you, everybody. I'm just going to go lounge in my three houses, no refunds. And it just upset. And you've got the whole thing with all the rioting and crime and everything else like that, they're all happening in Democratic. I think one is Republican, but the rest are all Democratic. And that's turning voters because they don't want their town to burn down. I just watched Stephen Crowder and Alex Jones do a 45-minute walk through Austin where it looks like Detroit now. Everything's boarded up. There's hardly any people. All the rioters come out at night because apparently they're like vampires. They can't do the day type stuff. And they're slowly, it's part of that destroying America. And one way of looking, one perception is they're destroying their own country because they hate Trump so much.
You know what's interesting about this is that all these all the gubernatorial and mayoral cities that are being affected, as we all know, are Democratic, and they basically backed out and told the police to stand down, so they would have their cities destroyed. Now, what's interesting is I think they had their marching orders, and in turn, they would get billions of dollars in stimulus from the Congress, the Democrat stimulus package had trillions of dollars going to these cities, but it's been held up. So it's like now they've had all this destruction and no money now to bail them out. I mean, this is kind of like, and now this, like, again, as far as the strategy gone bad, now you have these cities where people are pissed off. And it's like a hornet's nest in every one of them with the people that are living there. What were they thinking? I mean, that they're going to actually be able to let their cities be destroyed, then get billions of dollars, pocket half of it, and, you know, throw some towards their constituents to make them happy. You know, this is like, what are they thinking?
I think you were bang on until throw some to the constituents. I think you were bang on about pocket some. I think that was exactly the plan.
I think this is actually a planned op where you let your cities get destroyed and then we'll pass this bill and you'll get all this money. And it ain't happening, folks.
Yeah. The interesting thing as well, the amount of people leaving California because they don't want to live there anymore. Because it's just the insanity of it all. I saw a graph where, like, I think a third of San Francisco is moving out because of just how they're being treated and their feces all over the streets. The big tech has got too much sway, where it's the insane left, where they don't accept any other point of view. If you disagree with them, clearly you're wrong.
Well, Upper Manhattan as well. I mean, all the millionaires and billionaires, they're gone. You know, and imagine the tax base that has left that city. And again, that was one of the cities that they're going to bail out, and ain't getting any money. And now it's mind boggling how they were thinking that let's let everything go to shit, and then we'll get all this money, and then we'll get all this. All this stimulus and we'll be on easy street, yeah. And as you're pointing out, Monty, they're just losing everybody that has any kind of a tax base and is leaving these larger regions, and they're opting for the country, you know, because of the scare tactics and the survival mode that's been set in motion in this country.
Yes, and. I forgot about New York. Thank you for sharing that because that's the East Coast epicenter where a lot of people from New York are leaving because it's complete stupidity. And the thought's gone, so it'll probably come back in 3 minutes. That's right. Yeah, I think the mayor of New York City actually said that social distancing, masks, everyone stay away from each other. Unless you're protesting racism, then it's all fine. The hypocrisy, it's just everyone's like, really? That's where we're at, where the stupidity of things, where they still think they're behind the curtain pushing their agenda, but they're making mistakes constantly.
Constantly.
Gerald's turning left.
Yes, I'm back, guys.
Where are you at? Don't give me your pinpoint accuracy of where you are. I don't have a drone, but whereabouts in the country are you at the moment?
I'm just north of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, okay, cool. And so you're still working and transporting stuff?
Oh, yeah. That man, ever since this virus, man, I've been working even harder than before.
Well, that makes sense.
Stuff more, I guess.
Yeah. And so what are your experiences where, like, is everyone losing their mind or they're just happy to – no, obviously they're happy to see you because you've got stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, South Carolina's been a lot better than the rest of the country. I'd say that only about half the people are wearing masks. The other half, they know it's a bunch of BS. So, yeah.
Yeah, because that was part of the I watched Ben Shapiro with Dave Rubin, which I think was the 26th of July. So it's 3-4 weeks ago, where, you know, trust science. Well, we can't because they keep changing their mind every 3 seconds, where masks don't do anything. Oh, we have to wear masks. Alex shared that Sweden and another country, I can't remember, where the masks really don't protect you. It's more – it's an optic, so it looks like you're helping.
Well, it's a form of control, I think. I think it's a form of control. It's conditioning.
Yeah, Tucker,
this is SJ. What kind of stuff are you transporting, and have you seen any significant interruptions in all of the truck traffic you're usually in? Over.
Well, I transport... dry goods for Belk department store. So I delivered a Belk, and yeah, we're pretty busy. And I mean, the trucking business is booming. I mean, we are busy.
Thank God. Well, I tell you, if we got any disruptions, all it would take is a major bridge collapse on the West Coast here, because we're letting all of our infrastructure go, is what I heard, because they figure, well, we may not be here in 10 years. Pretty doom and gloom point of view. But yeah, so far, the bridges, all of the infrastructure is held up over.
Yeah, 10-4. Yeah, we got a lot of bridges that are in bad shape. I mean, really, it scares the crap out of me going over some of these bridges. But, yeah, they're holding up so far.
Wasn't that designed after World War II? Eisenhower, I think. Someone who knows more than me, please correct me. The idea is that if there was an invading army, you could blow 4 bridges and isolate a city and have a siege. The thing is, though, that could be worked in a negative way of instead of keeping people out, you're keeping people in. And it's interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Where you, if the infrastructure is slowly crumbling away, like it's not going to be a Mad Max world, but it's just, in a way, it's a form of control. But I'm guessing, though, like, what's the traffic like? You're probably making good time if no one's moving about.
Well, that's why I work at night. I love working at night because it's a lot less traffic. So, yeah, traffic, I mean, yes, but it's no traffic at all, Herbie.
Yeah, it used to be my favorite. I'd always time it so I hit the big cities on my route I wasn't going to stop at night, so I could just blow right on through, right?
Yeah, 10-4, especially Charlotte, North Carolina. It's like one of the worst cities. Oh, it is terrible at 7 o'clock in the morning. So, yeah.
Oh, baby. L.A., West Coast. One of the problems we got here on the West Coast is that a lot of our infrastructure is just on the edge. So I'm just hoping we can get through the next year without anything catastrophic happening. One of the things that happened in my youth was the collapse of the Silver Bridge. You ever hear about that?
Oh, yeah. That was on it. Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
Yeah, one that was before they had adequate suspension links in a lot of these suspension bridges from the early 20s, say, and 30s. Over.
Yeah, 10-4. And then also these cities that are doing all these rioting, truck drivers are refusing to deliver to those cities. So they are shooting themselves in the foot. When they run out of groceries, yeah, they're going to start crying in.
How well is communication keeping up amongst you guys that are on the road currently?
Dispatch, they tell us everything, and they told us if we go to anywhere and if there's riding, to turn the truck around and go back to the yard no matter what.
How's fuel supplies and the people that have service stations? How are they holding up?
They're doing good, yeah. I mean, they got a sign up to saying, you know, wear a mask, but I never wear a mask. I flat refuse to wear a mask. I wore a mask one time when I had to go to the bank and do some business in the bank, and they made me put on a mask. But other than that, I do not wear a mask.
Well, that's subtle irony. Sorry, SJ.
What's happening, I'll be over in a second.
Oh, go ahead, sir.
What's happening in the United States is we've got mask and no mask radicals. So I've noticed that in the last, 6 months, right? That's developed. I wonder where that's going to end up. Over.
Yeah. The people taking their stance and they're dying on this hill and they're getting to zealot level. And the irony is you have to wear a mask in a bank. Like, that's so 2020.
More acceptable.
Yeah. Interesting enough, here in Australia, or Victoria at least, you have to wear a mask except for a bank. And that's for legalities of identification. So, because I think the bank staff, if you walk in with a mask, they kind of react badly.
Well, I've always seen the mask here in British Columbia as a matter of respect, not so much for your protection as for other people's. And I'm currently, I'm going through a hassle with my heel. Injury, and I've had people visit me from the Fraser Valley medical folk, and they're always wearing a mask, and I always ask them if they'd like me to wear a mask, and they always go, no, as long as I've got one on, it's not a problem. And I really appreciate the fact these people are coming out to put bandaging on me as a part of my health system. I mean, I've got a really good one right at the moment, is my impression. Over.
Yeah. I sort of had a thing like there's one hospital that my family deals with, and everybody's had an interesting experience with it. I'll just put it that way. Except for my father. He's gone in, got better, came out. So it's not 100%. It's like, say, 75% of the time of, like, they're crap. They don't know what they're doing. My dad goes in, he found out after he lived with leukemia for 3 years. He found out, I've got leukemia, and now he doesn't. And so it's I was explaining to a friend, my dad's supposed to be here because he's had open heart surgery. He's had leukemia, like in his elderly, the autumn years. He keeps having all this stuff trying to kill him, but nope, still here, which I like because he's my dad. It's just really weird.
Does anybody see this as an opportunity for change? Over.
Yes, but the trick is it going to be positive or negative change? Because the globalists want their version of reality and, total control and break up the families and, all that stuff that, Alex Jones and David Icke have been talking about since the 90s, where that's probably the plan on paper. But it's interesting to see how it's unfolding in reality. But there's also the flip side of it of like, well, no, as a collective, we can do better where, remove the corruption from the system. That's the simple way. That would be the highest outcome, to remove the corruption from the system. And I think that's where – and the corruption is trying to control humanity.
Oh, yeah. And definitely that's where see that conflict, right?
Oh, yes, of course. Where when the Prime Minister said, I would hope to have the vaccine mandatory if possible. He didn't say it will be. His wording was, well, this is my idea and we'll see what happens. Instantly, the mainstream media started attacking anti-vaxxers. And I've seen tweets that, you know, like, oh, you know, the anti-vaxxers are going to, you know, cause a stink and everything else like that. And a lot of people's like, well, no, I'm not going to. It's called free choice. And if I refuse the vaccine, it's my, you know, God-given right to do it. You know, Australians saying God-given right, it's very weird. That's usually an American thing, which right is still a good thing. Don't get me. Yeah, it's still a good thing.
I was reading up on it earlier. I agree with you. Over.
And thank you. Also, a lot of pro-vaxxers are saying no, because it's only been 5 months. It is, you know, the a vaccine that worked the last time was 5 years, and that was rushed through. Alex Jones mentioned in that interview with Stephen Crowder that they've skipped animal testing. They've gone straight to human testing, and 80% of them are getting sick. And if the virus keeps mutating or changing strain, how can you, you know, they've had the flu shot for 79 years and still, you know, the flu's winning.
Well, the gang at the research center said they're not worried about coronavirus as much as they're worried about the natural changes in viruses globally.
Yeah. And that's the interesting thing as well, of where if we're overprotective and our immune system is weakened because everything's clean, it needs sort of germs and dirt to sort of boost itself up. It's like an athlete. Gerald, I think you wanted to share.
Yeah, is it true about Vladimir Putin's daughter dying from that vaccine?
I've seen it, but I haven't backed it up. Sure, I can't think of the word. That's the word. Thank you very much. If the world's a stage, who knows how much of it's basically, you know, it could be 80% truth and 20% lie. Where, so when go ahead, Mikey. Hijacker, sorry.
Yeah, when did this story come out?
About a week or two ago.
Yesterday. Yeah. It was very recent, yeah.
But it's not been reported on it that much. That's why it's kind of hard to verify, because it popped up.
Huh. I mean, that's huge news. That's big.
Judging,
first and then SJ, please.
Okay. Since we are talking about, you know, the person that gets the vaccine to 7.8 billion people, some people say 8 billion people, is going to make a lot of money. So it could be disinformation from our pharmaceuticals. And they let the story out in the news, and there's no truth to it, to try to damage the Russian vaccine. So I don't know. That's first I heard it. Go ahead.
We'll have to investigation mode. Go ahead, SJ, please.
Well, it leads into my question. Looking at the internet, what do you figure our truth content is, making a wild guess? Do you think we're 10% right, 10% wrong? Where do you figure the truth lies on the internet currently? Over.
Oh, geez.
Good one.
Can I turn gold can I turn lead into gold? That sounds a bit easier.
Yeah.
the thing is now you sort of have to actually, instead of saying 3 news sites, you have to probably go up to 16 news sites to try and collate everything. I remember Stephen Crowder talking to a young black man who thought that BLM was racist, or yeah, he was a clear thinking guy. The young chap, huge strapping young lad, intelligent. It was beautiful to see. He said, so how he wasn't into politics. How should I get my information? And Crowder said, you watch 3 liberal sites and 3 conservative sites. You get the premise of what the story is and then delve into the information. And sort of basically, if you to answer SJ's question, you have to investigate more now to try and find all that stuff. Like Beirut, the Beirut bombing. There are 7 different versions of what happened. And so, yeah, you know what I mean? Where it's, we have to be more diligent in our intelligence gathering, if I can go a bit military there.
Well, what I've been doing is going to several sites that collate the information themselves and doing the same thing to them. And I'm getting, I think, a fairly accurate idea of what's going on. I don't get lost in the details too often because I've seen all of that shift around too often, right? I just want to have the general feeling for an area or a people or a bunch of politicians. And I certainly am very carefully watching ours. I think one of the things I've noticed is that Trump really likes to have these meetings and groups, but most of the stuff that's being done is being done by his homies at the White House. They're the ones that are actually making this all move along. And I'm not quite sure they've got the right idea of what they need for the future. Over. They're still sort of lost squabbling. Over.
Yeah, I think the difference between, and anyone chime in if you disagree, with President Trump is you've got the pressure. He's, what, 77? He's a very large ego, and that's just an observation, not a put-down. That's a big personality, it's a better way of saying it. And it's a tough job anyway. It sucks the life out of you. You look at all the presidents, just 4 to 8 years, and just the life force is sucked out because you're in that high-level intensity. Add to that, 85% of the media are acting like children and have been attacking him for over 4.5 years. He's got all that pressure as well.
Okay. So, yeah, I'll make the correction now. He's not 77. He's actually 74.
Okay.
And also, the one thing that concerns me about the Trump campaign and what President Trump has been saying, he keeps talking about, like, the last thing he said was we're going to probably have to do a redo over of the election, and they're fighting over the post office, whether they're going to do universal mail-in ballots. And then before that, he basically alluded to all of the cheating that went on. And so for the last month, he's been just making these statements that makes you really feel destabilized as far as the election.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've been thinking for a while here is that we would be better off putting this election off by a year. Let this all settle out and then get into figuring out what we're going to do in terms of federal leadership. Over.
I can see where you're coming from, but I can see the hard left losing their minds because they think that Trump...
Oh, God, yes. Well, they're losing their mind anyhow.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. They'll amp it up by 10 because Trump would be, in a way, caretaker president in a certain aspect. So, go ahead, Viking.
So I don't think that President Trump is destabilizing anything. I think he's countering. He's constantly countering the deep state's maneuvering to slam through this mail-in voting. I mean, he basically, the way I look at him is he's up front taking the hits. He's like doing a rope-a-dope, you know, while his cabinet and his attorneys, you know, Barr and Durham and Horowitz and all these guys in cabinet, Q actually came back online yesterday, are basically maneuvering his strategy. And I still think that the entire operation that we call the White Hats is 3 or 4 steps ahead. You know, they broke loose, and I think it was the last 24 hours that the Postal Service actually put in a patent in February for blockchain vote and mailing. You know, so this would be a secure system, and right, that could actually be brought out, you know, in the next 30 days as the way to do this. You know, and you know, I don't believe for a second that he's caught off guard. I just think that he's like letting them pummel him and exhaust their efforts, and then he's going to come in, his team, and do their employment of what they believe is right for the country. We're still 70 days out. I can't believe it's 70 days. That's like tomorrow. You know, when you really look at it, you know, things are going to happen here really quickly, and yeah, it's going to be over the top what they're going to do to get their way through, and it's not going to happen. There's no way that's going to I mean, he'll suspend the election and put us into martial law before that he allows mail-in voting.
Possibly.
I think it'd be super interesting to postpone like that just to see how much of this was trying to influence the election.
You bet. There's all these different levels to what's going on, and I think rushing it at this point is just going to indulge the people that are trying to cause a divide and conquer, right? I mean, looking at all the things happening to this planet, we've got more important things than this election going on at the same time, right? Maybe we need to concentrate a little bit more on what our actual problems are. Like,
no, SJ, there's nothing more important in this election right now. Nothing.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah.
What? I would say,
Australia will become a vassal state of China. China will probably move in, be your police. Canada.
I'd say the U.S. would do that before China will. I mean, we just had to buy this crappy arms deal, which we always do off the States, which is basically for missiles that have the range to make China, which is right. our biggest, you know, trade dealer. So, I mean, you're asking us who are the first people who want to walk in and you know, be totalitarian.
And the Prime Minister said with that deal is it's for a post-COVID world. Which is like, hello, what does he mean by that? Yeah, like, what do you know? Yeah, go ahead, Hijacker.
No, I'm just saying, if the Democrats take over, they're not going to defend Australia, Taiwan, Japan. It would be like the Chinese actually
won war. Well, it's a bit. It's like protection money, like it's mobsters over some kind of your little local neighborhood, you know. They pay protection money, we pay protection money to you guys by buying all your crappy surplus arms and shitty deals and Collins-class submarines and planes without the software and all that kind of shit.
Right.
On the deal that you look after us. Okay, right. If you don't look after us, we'll go and trade with China and the U.S. will keep falling.
Viking, wondering...
If the Democrats take over, bye-bye Australia. They're going to... They'll take you quick, and we won't do anything about it because
we'll still be here. We'll still be here. I think you have an inflated sense of yourselves most of the time. Over.
But that's sort of what goes back to what SJ was, you know, the problems. Unfortunately, at the moment, it's leadership, which is the focus at the moment with the election. Viking, I'm wondering what you thought of what you think about what we just spoke about.
You know, it's not the Democrats. It's basically the Democrats are still puppets. It's the whole left arm of the deep state. You know, going all the way up again. You know, they're just lower minions. The management of this whole operation is you know, if it would have went through, it would have been a complete shutdown. I would have to agree with Hijacker, but. As far as SJ, what's more important is that we stabilize our geopolitical and geoeconomic arenas first, and then we can start taking care of world population and food and healthy trade. You know, basically, I think the momentum here eventually post COVID, as far as Trump sees it, is healthy world trade, and. I really believe that this will change the status of the world. You know, he wants to drill off of Alaska, but I believe in the next 7 years, the oil industry is just going to implode because there's not going to be any need for oil. But he has to maintain that edge to keep the whole, you know, keep America great again. We have our own natural resources, and he keeps playing that card. But I believe that he knows as well as anybody else that the oil industry is gone. But it's gonna be so different in the next 24 months. It's this whole plane of reality is gonna shift so dramatically. It's gonna be it's beyond even our perception.
Right. Well, you would agree with me, Viking, that if the Democrats, the communists, basically take over and Trump is gone, Australia, they're on the menu for China. Don't you agree with that?
Yeah, you're on the menu first, though. You're on the menu before us if that happens.
No.
We get to see the states as things, you know, we get to see that as a warning of what not to do. Basically, most of the time, we see it happen to you guys before it happens to anyone else.
You're only 30. How many people in Australia? 37 million, something like that.
Yeah, 20, about 25. The thing about Australia's position is, and I'll let Viking answer the question, is that we're friends with the United States, and our biggest trading partner is China. So we have to sort of walk the line. A lot of trying to make everybody happy. Viking, answer the question that was put to you.
Do I agree? I don't know. You know, it's like it's just a theater, and they're all puppets that they're trying to manipulate. I know that the DNC and the deep state does favor China as far as trying to. Make deals both in intellectual properties and trying to make deals with weaponry and whatnot and selling your secrets. They've been responsible for this degradation. And I don't know what their ultimate goal was, but I know a lot of it was to be complacent and align their pockets. And it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. That timeline has been it just dissolved.
Yeah, I think I got 77 years old. That's Biden is 77 years old, and you can tell. And I'll be watching the convention to see. Oh, I've mentioned that. I'll watch his speech. And then
when is that?
That'll be Friday, 11 o'clock Friday our time. And so it's Thursday night.
That's okay. An oxymoron because it's not Biden's acceptance speech, it's Kamala Harris's acceptance speech.
Oh, yeah. And then the Republican convention's next week?
At the White House.
Yes, so that would be interesting because everyone's Zooming and it's so weird where they put up a small video of someone talking and then they cut to everyone at home clapping on their Zoom. It's kind of weird. I don't think the conventions are technically legal either because you need quorum and a certain amount of people and all that type of stuff. But of course, they'll just ignore that. So it'd be interesting to see the numbers, as I said earlier.
Right, the bylaws. So they can get around that.
Oh yes, of course. I'm sure they'll find a way of with the circumstances of Corona and the lockdown. I don't like saying pandemic because
it's Viking, it wasn't one. Our man Trump, he's making me real nervous. He keeps talking about election do over and if Biden wins and it's so corrupt and he keeps for the last month he just keeps bringing it up and up and it's. Like, this is the problem.
The only time he brings it up to the election is when the Democrats are pushing their postal bill, they're pushing postal mail-in, they want to fund the post office billions of dollars to create an infrastructure to handle their trickery and facade of mail-in voting. He only counters it. I've never heard him bring it up outside of him being countered. And he's not talking about postponing the election. Every time I hear it, he's saying that absentee ballots are good. We're going to do a mail, show up to the polling station. And he's countering the entire, and I mentioned this way back in March, the main thing that's going to be happening is watch the DNC, push their mail-in voting. That's the whole reason for COVID. They're hoping that, that this is going to, that's their excuse. That's their excuse for mail-in voting. Fauci came out last week and said, no problem going to the polling booth. That's kind of like it's being countered, but they're still pushing it like a dead horse down the street.
You and I both know, everybody on this panel, we're all educated. We're up on current events. We know how divided the United States is. And so my point is, why are we going into election, it being so close, that let's say you're right, our man Trump, he pulls it out, but the other side's not going to believe it, and so we're going to get even more fighting, more lawsuits.
No. Once the election happens, if he doesn't win by a landslide, then both parties will claim a victory. And another reason why the mail-in voting is so important is because it takes weeks. It took 6 weeks to tally Nevada, and they still don't know exactly what the true numbers are, and so they're again. If an election has not been called in 30 days, I guess the Speaker of the House takes over or something. This is what they're hoping. And it's not going to happen. I mean, I mean, if he does anything, there'll be a two-party claiming election. There's going to be a massive coup. I mean, I just see a massive coup occurring where they're just going to use that as battlegrounds to do multiple and arrests upon the indictments that they have, or they might even bring the indictments up beforehand. But I don't see there being civil unrest as much as just political upheaval.
Well, tell us about the Q drops. What's the latest on Q, the Qvian universe?
They're really just pointing out that everything is as far as they're concerned. As I said, they're three steps ahead. They're going forward with these Brannon is coming up on Friday. That's the tip of the iceberg. I mean, Brannon. Under Brannon, you got Strzok and Comey and Page and Orr and all those guys. So they're focusing right now on bringing these indictments to full glory here in front of, because it all leads to Clinton and all leads to Obama. And this is where every day they're just saying how the Obama administration, FISAgate, this whole, spying on Trump, is treasonous. I hear that all the time. It's treasonous. It's treasonous. And treason is hanging offense. You know, they're really pumping this like almost every day when you're listening to either Fox News or Trey Gowdy or, and in the Q world that they're really going after this whole Spygate. The Spygate is becoming like their mantelpiece for how they're going about taking down the deep state, and it's going to start Friday. Friday's going to be so interesting to see how the turn of events that will occur. That's going to set a precedence, because the Democrats already set the precedence for all the false arrests that they have done, in 17 and 18. They've set the precedence. Now they're basically going to pick up the same protocol and now do their arrests.
Just very quickly going back into mail-in voting, there are people protesting to have mail-in voting, and someone pointed out, well, if you can congregate as a protest, you can easily line up to vote. And they're like, oh, that's nice. I like that. Very quickly as well, we are 5 minutes out to finish the show as well. So any final thoughts or questions? Or
I found an update on that Australian vaccination announcement. Apparently, as AstraZeneca, it's more of just a hello, are you a company? Yes, we're a government. Is this possible? Maybe kind of a letter. Anyway, over.
Okay. Yeah. Hi, Jacko.
Yeah, Monty, you ought to give out your info while you got the time here, your station, all the rest. And are you getting any donations at all to help out with your show?
Yep. They're slowly coming in and they're helping out because I can buy food and my cat's still alive, so everyone wins.
Yeah, okay.
But if you feel like donating to myself, if you go to my YouTube channel, which is Wafer Thin Entertainment, and go click on the About tab, and at the bottom of the links is donate to my channel, which is a connection, a link to my PayPal account. And so that's the way that you can share money. And if it's from the United States, it's like, oh, so much, because the exchange rate's terrible. So like, I've given you $7. I can buy a house. So yeah, that's
Wafer Jet.
Yes, Wafer Thin Entertainment, and if you're listening to this on YouTube, you'll be able to click on the channel itself, and you'll find it's also there's an icon in the bottom right hand corner of the banner of it as well. I'm also on Instagram as Monty.Dean, as well as Twitter at RealMontyDean. Viking, do you want to give your information for your show?
Yeah, we do a show on Fridays, Studio A, 11 a.m., this 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Galactic Interstellar Council. You know, last week we did a proclamation of cease and desist order for all malevolent beings to leave this planet. And this week we're going to be talking about how we can negotiate our reality around again, people that are still locked into this dystopia, you know, because it really is important now that we choose our words wisely and not to let go of our sovereignty.
Thank you. Hi, Jackie. Will you be on Deacon's show soon?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing tomorrow. Actually, I'm going to finish the week up, and then I'm probably going to take a good long break, a real break this time. I'm still playing for Tucker Carlson VP. Probably is not going to happen, but I got to play my hand out. So, yeah, and that's Deacon John's on that would be 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which would be 5 p.m. East Coast time.
Yep, on so, Studio yeah. A. Yep.
Right.
And also, I can understand taking a break because it's 70 days till the election, and I don't think we'd be able to really see what's sort of going on till the third week of October.
I'm different than Viking. I'm convinced that unless President Trump wins by a landslide, and I think the only thing he can do is raise the Tucker Carlson flag, who can actually bring half of white voters that never voted in 2016, a huge number, to the battlefront and overwhelm them. But so I think that unless he picks Tucker, he's not going to win in the landslide, which means it's going to be a close election, which means cities will burn, and this thing is going to get crazy. So
the way I see it is
for me to be on the air. You know, I played my hand out, and that's it. So why be on the air? You know.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I see three scenarios. Biden wins, Trump wins, we don't know. There'll be chaos. It depends on what faction, whatever, how it plays out.
It'll go to the Supreme Court. No, it's going to be it's going to be your classic shit show. It's going to be crazy, crazy.
Maybe also, the shit show of all shit shows.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And also, I've decided I'll be doing a four-hour show because on Wednesday morning, so it's election night. So we'll have 4 hours of going, oh, dear God, no, or oh, wow. So, yeah. Cortec and SJ, you'll be floating around, as well as Trucker Gerald. I'm sure you'll be floating around on other roundtables as well. Passing thoughts? We've got about a minute to go.
I'll be on Franklin Street tomorrow about 12:36 for about 15 seconds if you want to talk to me.
Fair enough, yeah.
And I was also thinking how kind of dumb we are for really putting, like, whenever you see a sci-fi and they say it was the year 20,416 or something like that, you go, this sounds so stupid. But, like, us even putting a year on how long we've been alive is so stupid. Over, sorry.
Yeah, fair enough. Oh. Yeah, okay. Quick hello to Ezio. SJ, go ahead.
First of all, are you still doing comedy?
Well, no, I can't leave the house. We're at the break, so we'll come back next week, and SJ will do a quick interview with me, which I'm totally fine. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. This is Planet Collingwood. We'll be back in 6 days and 22 hours. 2 hours of Zen, and then Kelsey Kaler. We love you all from afar. See you soon.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.